Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Football. Energy drinks. Beer. More football. Welcome to Bink at Night.
Tracking him, but watch the hit from the left side of the screen. I know it's in slow motion, but that's way too many steps for Moses.
Brady did turn just in time.
There's Desmond Moses, courtesy of CBS Sports. Desmond, who just left the studio. He was the only guy in that Patriots game to hit Tom Brady. Got like a $30,000 fine for that hit, too.
I mean, it was a good hit.
It wasn't like one of them.
The
Chiefs needed to hit him.
Yes, they did. They needed to put him on his butt at least
once. Desmond came in and he hit him.
He let him know he was there.
He said that Edelman talked some junk, too. Great stuff with Desmond Moses. You know, talking about the attitude. And, you know, he always lights up, too. And he talks about just the impact that Terrell Suggs had with this team. It's like everything this team is doing is turning up the right direction. And this season hasn't been easy. I mean, it looks easy when you got home field advantage, but it took some things. It took Fitzpatrick to go into New England, give Chiefs, and him and Tannehill that gave Chiefs home field advantage throughout. Like, it took those kind of things. Chiefs got the divisional round. They got the bye going in because of Ryan Fitzpatrick. They get home field because of Ryan Tannehill doing his deal. There was the big test against Derrick Henry, and they stood up to the test. 69 yards rushing. You know, I'll never forget Frank Clark, you know, going on and on about that game. It was one of those things, too, with Frank Clark that I was talking to Desmond. But, you know, he had these quotes that were going around the day before. So many people nationally were talking about those quotes, about stopping. Oh, my God, you can't say that about King Henry. You can't say that about him. But then after the game, he was animated.
Past two games, he's gained 70 yards, over 200 yards each game. I know damn well we wasn't going to win the game if we let that happen. They come in here, he ran for 70 yards. They call him the best rusher in the league. We're sitting in this home early.
I posted the comments that you said to me. And all over social media, everybody said you better watch your back, that you're saying things that you can't cash. Everybody on social media said,
they must not know who I am yet. They going to find out sooner or later when I got that ring on my finger. At the end of the day, we champions. AFC, that trophy that got my own and last name on it, that's the KC. KC, ain't no fall off. Last year, jump off sides, all that. I told him when I got here, there's no change. Look at we're the best in the world.
Go join.
That is called getting pumped up, and that's what you get when you do interviews on the field. Seriously, you know, so many times people have criticized, you know, some of the things players say, but this is at their place of work. This is where they do things. That's the adrenaline flowing after the game. Now, locker rooms, sometimes you get people pretty animated, but there's time to cool off. Sitting at their lockers, they get the towel on their head, taking the sweat off. You get the head coach, you know, coming in and making a statement to the quarterback, whoever wants to talk, and you calm down. You bring it down a few notches. But when you interview somebody on the field, this is the stuff you get, Kramer. This is the stuff you get. You get raw emotion from these guys. You get what you get when you interview a football player right after a game.
It's like the most real emotion that you can get, and it's probably the best time to ask a question because they'll be truthfully honest with you, which is perfect.
And a lot of times you'll hear coaches that be upset about officiating or whatever, and they'll say more then than what they'll say at their press conference. You know, they've had time to cool down. Like, that cooling off period is so important in football. But again, you go stick a microphone in that. I loved every second of that. That attitude. Now, if someone says something about the Chiefs, we don't like it. I mean, I get it. It's sports. It's gamesmanship. But the Chiefs have missed that kind of attitude on defense. And they got it with Frank Clark. They've got it completely with Frank Clark, and it's good to see. I found this interesting, Kramer. Of course, as I was talking to Desmond, we're talking about the difference between Kelce and Kittle. because everybody's talking about Kittle being the best tight end in football instead of Travis Kelce. Here's Pro Football Focus. They did a breakdown. You decide who's better.
Game's best tight ends have seemingly been on a collision course and will now share the same stage in Super Bowl 54. Since entering the league just 3 years ago, Kittle has emerged as PFF's highest graded tight end. He has used his physical presence to break more tackles for more yards after the catch than any other tight end over the last three seasons. During that same time, Kelce has earned PFF's second highest receiving grade of 91.6, but he leads all tight ends in receptions, receiving yards, and touchdown catches. With precision route running, Kelce has generated more explosive pass plays of 15 yards or more than any other tight end since 2017.
Moneyball!
When Kittle does arrive in Miami, he will face a Chiefs coverage unit who has allowed a staggering 98 receptions versus tight ends this season. Second most in the NFL. On the other hand, Kelce is to face a formidable 49er secondary who has allowed the league's fourth lowest completion percentage when facing tight ends in 2019. Kelce and Kittle, it's a clash of two titans.
See, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to go through. Who would you rather have this year? I would rather have Travis Kelce. I know for the long haul that Kittle's younger. Kittle's 26 years old. Travis Kelce at 30 years old right now. He doesn't turn 31 until October 5th of this next year, 2020. Now, you want to look at touchdowns? You go back to 2017, really with George Kittle's first year. George Kittle had two touchdowns. Travis Kelce, in that time period, in 2017, had eight. 2018, Travis Kelce had 10. George Kittle had five. This year, George Kittle had five touchdowns. Travis Kelce, five touchdowns. However, Travis Kelce, 97 catches, 1,229 yards, played in all 16 games. Now, that's 12.8 yards per reception that Travis Kelce has. And Travis Kelce actually led the AFC in receiving yards. Not only that, he was fourth in the NFL in receiving yards. Kittle, 85 catches, again, 14 games for him. Travis Kelce, 97, 1,053 yards for Kittle, 1,209 for Kelce. Kelce has four straight years of 1,000 yards. Kittle has two straight years of 1,000 yards. He could probably get there. And Kelce caught Olsen for the most receiving yards at 300,000 receiving yards at three. And he passed him this year when he got four. Not only that, he's the only tight end in history with at least 1,200 yards receiving in two straight years. Now, again, who would you rather have? Some of the things that Kelce's doing is incredible. And you see some of those diagrams by Dan Orlovsky, the former NFL quarterback who's on ESPN that I think is really becoming a star in this business. So much so they're talking about him maybe even for Monday Night Football. I'm sure that Peyton and Tony Romo are one and two on that list. But then there's Dan Orlovsky. And he showed Kelce recognizing a blitz. And he recognized the blitz because it was going to be a zone blitz on the other side, where the defensive end was going to have pass coverage to the outside in that zone. Kelce picked up that man instead of the blitzer because he knew that player was going out and in pass coverage. There's just little things, you know, being in sync with Patrick Mahomes. You heard him, you know, coming to the sideline in that Texans game against Mahomes. He said, "How'd you know I was doing that? How'd you know I was breaking that direction? I turn around, there's the football." And Mahomes goes, "Well, I knew that's what you do." It's that kind of connection. It's that kind of chemistry. Knowing what each other's doing is perfect. It's your quarterback, photographic memory. He knows it. Chris Harris for the Denver Broncos, the former Jayhawk, he was asked by Rich Eisen, because he's played all these teams in the playoffs, that are in the playoffs, he played in the regular season. And this before Baltimore got beat, but he was asked who he was taking once the postseason was set. He said Chiefs. He said that their offense is so complex. Andy Reid will run so many different routes. You think they're going to do one thing and they do something else. They have different routes on basically the same formations you saw earlier. Some teams are pretty vanilla with what they do. The Titans ran the same play with Corey Davis that the Patriots scored a touchdown on. The Honey Badger recognized that, and he wrecked the play with the big hit. That's when you know your defense has got it. And right now this defense has mojo. It's got swagger. It's got mojo. And Frank Clark's the epitome of that. He talks the game. Honey Badger talks the game. But they go out and they cash what they're saying. And as Desmond said, you know, Dirty Dan, one of the nicest guys you can meet. But he's got that switch. And his hits have been huge. His play this postseason has been big. He needed to step up. No Juan Thornhill. Dirty Dan stops that fake punt. Huge play in the game. Dirty Dan makes two huge hits in this Titans game. Flattens Tannehill. He even came in and hit Derrick Henry. Made him think about it. This season, now if we're talking in 4 or 5 years, who are you taking? You're obviously going to take Kittle. Because he'll be turning 30 years old, and Kelce be mid-30s. But right now, would you take anybody else in this league than Travis Kelce?
I wouldn't.
No.
It's like
the perfect fit for this offense. The perfect fit for Pat. It's nothing against Kittle. He's a great tight end. Great tight end. We got a pretty damn good one here, too. He's been finding the end zone with Pat Mahomes. It's just a perfect compliment to Pat Mahomes. Well, you heard that interview with Frank Clark. The guy that did that interview, James Palmer, NFL Network, was on with The Drive earlier today. Bring you the best of that next.
Big at Night.
Welcome back to Big at Night. Jay Binkley, Kramer the Crame Dog, Desmond Moses. Big thanks to Desmond for stopping in here for an hour. Talking Chiefs and 49ers, talking about defensive attitude. What'd you learn, Kramer?
Learned a lot.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
Did you learn skills to take to your simulation football league?
You know, you could say that. I mean, I'll end up telling my defensive team, my defensive side of the team, to step up their game.
Why don't you get Desmond to play in your league?
You know what? That'd be pretty sweet. He probably wouldn't understand it at first.
Kinda.
You barely understand it.
I barely understand it.
But yeah.
I'm willing to give it a go, though. I was shocked that I'm flipping around TV channels the other night, and I come upon your league, your simulation football league. It was right there on TV. You had the draft right there on the TV and for everybody to see.
This is a video game, and it's on TV. That's kind of impressive, don't you think?
Oh, I do. I do. You're a big draft guy. You enjoy NFL draft like me. What do you think about the draft being at the Bellagio Fountains?
You know what? It's different, but I like it. It's really, really different.
I mean, it is. Listen, I love fountains. I do. The Bellagio Fountains are great. But are they really? I mean, they're going to bring the players up on a boat, man.
That's what I do not like about it. Because like you've mentioned it, it's hard getting out of a boat. It's really easy getting into it, but getting out of it, you're going to be pulling somebody in.
But it's in the fountains. It's not like they're out. Not out the Pacific Ocean.
True,
or something,
true. But yeah, but it's still, you're going to get wet, and there's a good chance everybody's wearing those nice high flying style and whatever it is, and they're going to get possibly wet. At least I know the fountains will probably be off, unless the ones in the background will probably still be on. But it's just I like it, but the boat situation I don't.
Be a red carpet stage constructed atop the lake at the fountains of the famous Bellagio Hotel. Now, draftees and their families will have to be ferried to and from the stage for red carpet interviews. Somebody's mom or dad's going to fall in, man. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell will announce picks from a separate main stage constructed adjacent to the brand new $375 million Caesars Forum. The forum will house selection square where the teams will set up. They're talking about shutting down the strip.
I mean, they're going to have to. This is a huge thing. Aren't they going to have, like, people sit pretty much on the strip to watch?
I think this is great. I mean,
it's huge.
I'm not a big fan of the boats, but the red carpet. Bellagio Fountains are cool, man. I'll say they are cool.
Never been there.
But the whole boat thing, I am curious how this is going to work out. I really do. I am curious.
There has to be a bet in Vegas right now that has how many people are going to fall into the fountain.
Can you imagine driving the boat? Like, how nervous you'd be if you'd screwed it up, like you dropped Joe Burrow?
That'd be terrible. I mean, it'd be kind of funny if he was a Clemson Tiger fan.
What are we going to do?
I don't know.
You saw how cool Nashville was because they had all those tents and everything else. It was cool.
It's true.
What's Kansas City going to do? That's my
question. For that. 2023, right?
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. James Palmer, NFL Network. It was on with The Drive. Full interview on demand, 610sports.com. But he was asked about that Frank Clark interview that I just played where Frank Clark was so animated. But he sat there and talked to James Palmer. And this was James Palmer and his reaction to Frank Clark having his reaction after that game.
Well, it's funny because, you know, I got the quotes from him before he hit the podium on Friday about, you know, everything he said about Derrick Henry, that got out and made the rounds when I reported that on Saturday, and then everybody pretty much claimed them that they weren't mine, and everybody stole them, but no big deal. Anyways, we ended up catching up on the field because I think he wanted to say something to me, knowing what he said to me before the game. You know, so I mean, when we came across each other in the middle of the field, I think he knew that was a spot that he wanted to say something to someone that he kind of told exclusively, this is what I was going to go do, right? So, I mean, I think the vibe of him coming up to me was, I told you I was going to do this. Now I'm going to tell everybody I was right. Because if you look at a lot of the comments, like through my Twitter account and stuff about what Frank said, everybody was like, you better watch your back. And, you know, Earl Thomas said the same thing, and look what happened. And that's why I asked the follow-up question of, like, you know, people say you better watch your back. And that's when he was like, who? And he got real mad. I was like, hey, man, I'm just saying to people on the internet, nobody thought you could do this. And I mean, it was one of those things where you kind of just make sure you don't get in the way. You know, I wanted him to voice what he wanted to get out there and the raw emotion of what he was feeling, and just let him go as much as he can and just kind of get out of the way and let him do it. I mean, that's the best part about sprinting out there. And I've learned over the years to try to get guys as soon as the game ends. I mean, you saw, I did one with Damian Williams with him bawling his eyes out, holding his daughter, I mean, the entire time. And, I mean, I just think those interviews of guys in the couple, you know, 90 seconds roughly after they know they're going to the Super Bowl is just pure gold, because it's a lot of honesty. It's a lot of how they're feeling. It's a lot of, you know, what they've worked so hard to do, and they haven't had time to take a shower, compose themselves, hear from Andy Reid about, you know, we're not done yet, and you get a chance to hear somebody tell you exactly what the raw emotion is like to do something that nobody thought Frank Clark and company was going to be able to do, specifically with how this year went for this defense, and to be able to go out there and do what they did and put his money where his mouth was from saying it before the game. I think the guy was just beyond excited to go out there and tell everybody that that's what he was planning on doing. He went up and did it, and it turned out to be kind of, in my opinion, maybe one of the best interviews of the season.
No question about it, Cream Dog. This is the XFL. The XFL brought us a lot of things. You know, that sideline, you know, stuff, and they're doing the XFL different now. But it brought us a bunch of this stuff. I loved it. You want raw emotion? You get raw emotion after the game. That's what James Palmer said. But don't throw a fit whenever they throw 50 cuss words at you.
Exactly.
Their cable, NFL Network's cable. Now, like, ESPN's cable, too. Now, if this is ABC or NBC, they have to watch it. But they have that delay and that dump button. James Palmer was asked about Frank Clark and how he's been injured most of the year. Just kind of his turnaround. What he's, because James Palmer is in St. Joe when we were up there. What's he noticed from Frank Clark? Because I've noticed the same Frank Clark that was in St. Joe is the same Frank Clark you're getting right now.
Yeah, that was remarkable. I mean, I did an interview with him at the facility before the season started, where we sat down together and kind of talked about what he wanted to do and what he wanted to change for this season. And it's funny because that was right before the start of the season, and he didn't tell me there kind of how he was feeling physically. It's funny because I never even think asked the question, because going into a season, how often do you ask a guy, you know, how are you feeling physically? He hasn't played a game. So he shouldn't have played those first couple of weeks, and they tried to get him not to, but there was no way, I think, in his mind, and you can see kind of everybody in Kansas City, the way this year has played out, the kind of determination that guy has and the way that he kind of wants to go out there and prove a point so frequently, that there was no way he was going to be, you know, Chiefs give up all of this capital to bring him in a trade, and then he's going to start the season not playing. Like, I just didn't think there was any chance that wasn't going to happen, but that's what they wanted to happen. And then that stretch in the middle before he actually took some time to get right, like, the reason our whole conversation about Derrick Henry started was because I was asking him about the injury, and, you know, he's a 250-pound running back. What is it like to hit him when you weren't healthy back in week 10 in that stretch? And that's when he opened up further and said, dude, I couldn't hit anybody. I couldn't hit anyone without feeling pain. Like, it was any block, anything that he went up against with that, you know, nerve issue in his neck, that it didn't matter who it was. It didn't have to be Derrick Henry. It could be anyone. And he was playing every single snap through a ton of pain. And I do think that's commendable. Teammates knew what he was going through. And then on top of it was the stomach issue. I mean, that thing was beyond what people knew he was dealing with. I was told by multiple players that the flight to Foxborough was a scene, man. Like, he was having a really, really tough time And Chris Jones told me he was actually planning on sliding out and playing defensive end because he thought no way Frank Clark is going to be able to play against the Patriots. He just thought there was no chance. So he was getting ready, and they were going to do that, slide him out. And then Frank goes out and has a fantastic game and then still can't get over the stomach issues and loses all this weight. I mean, what he's been through this year and now to be in the healthy spot he's in, which right now this might be the healthiest, not might be, is the healthiest he's been all season. And I think he's just really loving going out there and playing because now he's doing it pain-free.
And you heard Fesco's interview with Frank Clark after the game as well. He talked about, you know, his doctors maybe recommended shutting him down. He didn't want that. It's a sign of toughness. James Palmer was also asked about Patrick Mahomes. Is he taking his game to the next level?
Oh, there's no question about it. And I think there's a couple reasons why. And, I mean, well, I think it was before the divisional round, before the AFC Championship game, I wrote an article for NFL.com about why so many people in the organization believe Pat is exponentially better this year than the year that he put up the, you know, record-breaking numbers and won MVP. The reason that it's even further along now is he played the entire season hurt. I mean, I don't think anybody knows how hard, you know, how tough that ankle was to play through that happened in Jacksonville. I remember watching him leave the stadium down in Jacksonville in week one, and he was, you know, literally taking one step, two steps together on his way to the bus out of that stadium. And I remember somebody with the Jaguars pretty high up who I was talking to when he walked by was like, there's no way he plays next week. And he did, and he played through it, and it got re-injured twice. And all this stuff, the point I'm making is, A, he's the healthiest he's been the entire season. That makes a huge difference. He was playing differently in the pocket, even if it was subconsciously trying to drift away from the offensive line so his knee and his ankle is kind of away and protected. He knows his arm can do it, but it was throwing some timing off and throwing some things off. So being healthy, A, is the biggest part. B is the part I wrote mainly about in the article, which is he is so much better mentally now than he was a season ago. And what he recognizes, and I think that's the big thing we should look at in both of these playoff games, is, yeah, they get down and the drops need to stop and you can't get down like that early. But what he's doing in these first couple of drives and how he's figuring out, along with Andy Reid and company, what they want to do offensively and how they can change. I mean, you talk to anybody in this offense, they'll tell you, listen, we can do something different every week. We can change guys. We can move guys around. We can put guys in any position. Everything is so flexible. We just need to figure out what the defense is doing and then change what we're doing. Well, he is able to do that so quickly now. What he recognizes pre-snap for that specific play and what he recognizes pre-snap and within the snap to bank and take to the sideline with him for future drives, I think that's why we're seeing them have an ability that just teams can't keep up with them or stop them as the game goes on because he's just smarter than everybody else. I'm sorry to say it. I think he's smarter than everybody else out there, and that's just the it factor. I mean, I was talking to Tony Boselli on the field before the game, one of the best offensive linemen to play in this league, and he was just like, dude, the dude is just different. And I think that's the best way to put it. It's just nobody else is doing it like him. I don't think we can talk about him enough. That's how I think dramatic he is playing right now and the level of play he is at.
And he has his talent so confident. It reminds me, I've said it before, the 14-15 Royals. I mean, you had confidence when you had a lead that the bullpen is going to shut it down. It's like when Pat Mahomes goes out there, you know he's going to win the game. You know the Royals, they would come, it was a little bit different. You know, they'd chip away at leads, they'd come back, and they'd move the line, you name it. But you have the comfortability that they're going to change things, that they're going to come back. There was a lot of people in Kansas City that held different reactions when they fell down to the Titans because they saw what they did against the Texans coming back in that game. Now, the Chiefs' opponent is the San Francisco 49ers. Last but not least, here's James Palmer, NFL Network, who joined the drive. His thoughts on the San Francisco 49ers. We're overlooking them.
I mean, they're really good. I mean, in every aspect of the game, they're fantastic. And I don't know if there's anybody that can say a bad word about Kyle as a coach. And I think he is coming in. I know Andy Reid is motivated. I think if he wins the Super Bowl, there's no doubt in anyone's mind that he is a Hall of Fame coach. That's the last thing he has to do. But you're going against the head coach in Kyle Shanahan that is, in a lot of people's minds, responsible for blowing the 28-3 lead the Falcons had against the Patriots in the Super Bowl. I mean, he was the offensive coordinator. He was calling the plays. And that is the number one thing everybody questioned about. Why aren't you running the football? Why aren't you managing the clock different? Why aren't you doing these things? If that isn't a motivated head coach now that he gets back into the Super Bowl to change things, I mean, I think it's incredible. He is a guy that has transformed that offense to be really what it needs to be. And the way they run it, and I don't want to scare people, but he has learned it from his dad and from Gary Kubiak, who he's been on staff with Gary before, and I've been a beat reporter for them in Houston when they were together. What he has learned from this offense, and if it is run right and it is run flawlessly, it's almost unstoppable. It really is. And that's the belief and why some people go, why do teams stick with this zone blocking scheme and then play action bootleg and it's just boring compared to some of the things you see the Chiefs do and whatnot. If everything's done right, it could almost be unstoppable. And the way Kyle runs it is brilliantly. I mean, they can have Jimmy go out there and hardly throw the ball, and then they can go out there and he's the only quarterback in the league in the top five in, I think, completion percentage, touchdowns, and yards per attempt. And that's a guy that's thrown 29 passes in the postseason. That's it. So they can kind of do anything. And when you have a pass rush and a secondary, you get scary. But at the same time, like we were just talking about with Pat, I don't put anything past Mahomes. I don't put anything past what he can do on a football field. I don't know if they can score the points that the Chiefs can score and put up, but they're the most complete team in all of football.
James Palmer, NFL Network, with the full interview on demand, 610sports.com. The question is, you know, you look at the 49ers, they actually scored more points than the Chiefs this year, more points per game. But Mahomes missed those 2.5 games. The funny thing is, the Chiefs gave up 308 points. As bad as this defense was early on, the 49ers gave up 310. They gave up 2 points than the Chiefs. Chiefs are 7th in the NFL in points against. The 49ers are 8th. But will this be a high-scoring game? Both NFL Network and Peter King and Mike Florio discussed the Super Bowl. Will there be high scoring or not? We discuss that next.
Big at Night.
Welcome back to Big at Night. Jay Binkley and Kramer, the Crame Dog, producing the operation. Guess who's in trouble again, Crame Dog?
I don't know.
Football player, star football player.
I'm trying to think.
Booted from a couple teams this year.
He had that one problem, right, with the helmet, was it,
yes,
I believe?
Yes, Antonio Brown.
And his feet were messed up, too?
Yep.
Oh,
this sucks, man. I hate seeing this. Hollywood, Florida. I see this report from KDKA in Pittsburgh. Warrant has been issued for Antonio Brown. Another controversy has been involved around him and his trainer attacking a truck driver, throwing a rock at the truck and hiding away in his home. Brown's trainer, Glenn Holt, has already been arrested for his involvement. The Hollywood Police Department is charging Brown with burglary and battery. No bond for Brown.
What in your right mind would you want to throw a rock at a truck driver?
I don't know, man. Maybe you got the wrong stuff. I don't know. I don't know. Who knows? I just know that, man, somebody, one of his friends, you got to get a hold of him, man. Like, instead of, you're like, oh, no, he's in trouble again. Go. The guy needs some help, man. I mean, maybe not a lot, but he needs some guidance, man.
There's something
he just
wrong
keeps getting. Well, but the thing is, it can be salvaged, right? I mean, if somebody sit him down and say, you know, what's going on, man? You're wanting too much spotlight here. Let's go the right path.
It seems like there's something different even if it's every week or even every other month.
But this world is still right in front of him. He can still play football. He can still play football at a high level. Not to mention he's got a great personality. He would be great on TV. Like, the whole world is right in front of him.
Yeah, he's made for TV now.
Not a guy that you want to see, you know, blow his money. You saw that. We've seen this before. Don't blow the money. I mean, it sucks is because you think about all these people that have it a lot better than you and I do, because he's got ability and he's got personality. He's blowing it all. Blowing it all. That's the toughest thing, man, when you see somebody do that. Like, there's some people they want to laugh or whatever. I don't laugh at these things.
I don't either.
I don't laugh at these things because, like, man, this guy needs some help, man.
Seeing
the demise of an individual is not fun to me.
No, it's like someone needs to reach out to him and say, hey, let's talk. Like, that's what he needs to do. He needs to sit down, put the phone down, just talk with someone, a specialist with something.
But I like goofy things. I like when people do goofy things. They're dumb things because they're playing. They do something dumb. But honestly, when someone is, like, spiraling downward, I take no comfort in that. None.
And it spiraled down quick. That's the sad part.
I don't know, man. I just look at his ability and what he's got.
He's 31 years old, and he's still able to probably be one of the top 10 wide receivers in the NFL.
I've seen people piss. I mean, you're watching 30 for 30 broke.
Yeah.
It's amazing, man. I mean, you think about the money, the fame, everything that goes with it. And some people just can't handle it. I mean, there's those lottery shows, too. Like, people that won the lottery and won a bunch of money, like how their lives changed. Now, I would love to win the lottery. I think I could handle it.
I think I
could handle it, but you never know.
I think you can handle it.
I mean, I'd probably blow a lot of money.
I mean, that's okay, because you already have a lot of money.
No,
Because you won it. No, I'm saying if you win the lottery.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'd like to pay for the kids' colleges and stuff like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. I need to pay off my colleges.
Well, I'd pay off your college.
You know what, Bink? I appreciate
if
that.
If I wanted, I'd give you some cash and pay off your... And I'd buy you a ring. Not you, but you to give. To
yeah, somebody. I got you. I got you, Bink.
All right. But anyway, there's a lot of people that just want to like laugh at these people. I don't. I'm not one of those people. Like, I hate to see the demise of an individual.
And it was just... I
take no comfort in that. It's like, man, what the hell did you do now, Antonio? Don't... Man, come on.
And it just went so quick. As if he just would have, I don't know if it's because of football-related injuries that have possibly made the mind scramble a little bit.
I'm not going to go there.
But it's just like, there's something wrong.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not going to go there because there's other people in life that I've known that never played football that went the wrong direction.
Yeah.
So it does happen to people who never played football in their lives. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I do.
But you hate to see it. You hate to see it. Good Morning Football was debating this morning with Kyle Brandt and Peter Schrager and Maurice Jones. Drew was on there. Will this be a high-scoring Super Bowl or not?
Yeah, I think it's going to be fireworks. I think it's going to be one of those 35-31 games, maybe both trying to get in the 40s. My only concern is when you have so much expectation and all this going into the game, you may have a game like last year where, you know, the Rams were this high-flying offense and the Patriots were doing all these different things, and then you get kind of a 13-3 game. But to me, you have too much talent on both sides of the both offenses to go 13-3. So hopefully it's 35.
I'm fascinated by the pace and who dictates the game, because they are two completely different offenses. On one of them, you have the fireworks show. Yeah. The other one is like turf warfare with what the 49ers doing. They're going to eat the clock for 10 minutes and run the ball.
Like 1917?
1917. They're going to be in no man's land just waiting down there for the moment, because that's what they do. They go, you know, big play on first down, small play second down, and then get the third down conversion, and then here we go again. I think it's a high-scoring game, but I am fascinated to see the time of possession. Because if the Chiefs find a way to win this battle of time and possession, I don't see the 49ers keeping up with that team. If the 49ers can dictate the pace of this thing, those Chiefs defensive linemen are going to be feeling this thing, and it could be a 49ers victory.
Kyle, don't you think we could just throw the regular season stats out the window? After what we saw, the Rams and the Patriots, they were two top five scoring offenses combined for 16 points.
Yeah. We got to be there for Patriots-Rams. It was that little dog burning, saying, this is fine. There was one red zone play run in the entire game. On the flight home from that trip in Atlanta, I happened to sit right in front of Michael Irvin. He was right behind me, and I was just like, Mike, what did you think of the game? Wouldn't say anything. I go, what'd you think? He just goes, man, I can't talk about it right now. It's the day after the game. We have to have some points. But I'm actually worried the Niners have the number two defense in the league. And when those defenses show up, the points are usually down. I do not see this as a track meet, but God, I'm hoping for one.
Seventh and eighth ranked team in the NFL for points against. Now, the over-under is set at 54.5. I'm actually leaning towards the over right now. I'll be quite honest with you. I think the Chiefs can hit a 30 spot. And I think the Niners could hit mid-20s. Because if you put the score at 31-24, you're looking at 41-51, then you're looking at hitting 45. They would have to have 30, it'd be, it'd be like 31-27. I'm leaning towards the over. Now, I've got plenty of time to change that. I got a week and a half to change that. As we sit right now, where would you lean?
I'm way going over.
Are you way going over?
Oh, my gosh,
you
yes.
think both? See, I don't think the Chiefs. I just don't think this defense right now will give up over 30 points. And I think if the Niners get to that point, they'll run the football and they won't be airing it out. I think the day over-under could be in danger, but a nice 31-27 score, something like that, I think would be right in the wheelhouse.
I mean, you could see some hiccups on the Chiefs defense happen at least once or twice in order to give up a big play, because I feel like the 49ers can go point for point with the Chiefs if they can, but they have to do that every single drive in order to put up points. That's a thing that the 49ers can actually do. If you want to look back into the Saints and 49ers game, that I can't remember what week it was, but it was 48-46. And they can go point for point with Drew Brees. You can go point for point with Pat Mahomes.
It'll be interesting. Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk and Peter King debated this issue between themselves as well.
Welcome to PFTOT on Yahoo Sports. He's Peter King. I'm Mike Florio. Big stories in the NFL and obviously the build-up to Super Bowl 54. There's been a lot of talk about who's going to win. But, Peter, let's look at it from the perspective of how many points will be scored. Currently, the over-under is 54. Do you anticipate Super Bowl 54 being a high-scoring game?
I look, I've not bet on an NFL anything in forever, but last week I was telling people, I only know one thing about the AFC Championship game, bet the over. And it was closer than I thought it would be. I thought it'd even be more high scoring than it was. And I would say the same thing on this one for a very simple reason. Healthy, Patrick Mahomes is nearly impossible to hold down. And I think the 49ers, with their ability to run the ball, and I am one who basically says this 49ers game planning and running it 75% of the time in these two playoff games, I believe that Kyle Shanahan is going to spend the next X number of days pumping up Jimmy Garoppolo and making sure that he is a major factor in the Super Bowl. So in my opinion, I think both teams are going to be able to, I'm not saying, perform at will, but I think both teams are going to have very strong offensive days in Super Bowl 54.
See, my concern as it relates to whether or not the game will be high scoring is that the 49ers may try to do what the Titans looked like they were going to be able to do. They had that 9-minute and 4-second drive in the second quarter when they extended the lead from 10-7 to 17-7. And there was a moment there where it's like, oh, boy, it's almost going to be like the third quarter of Super Bowl 25 when the Giants had the ball the whole time, right? That you keep Patrick Mahomes on the sideline and you chew up the clock, you shorten the game, you reduce the number of possessions. I feel like the 49ers could maybe pull that off. And if they're inclined to try to do it, that's what's going to drive the scoring under that number. That's what makes me think that maybe, Peter, it won't be high scoring if they adopt that philosophy and grind it out, shorten the game, and keep Mahomes off the field.
Mike, that has to be Robert Saleh's concern and Kyle Shanahan's concern. I mean, the San Francisco 49ers right now would sign for the Kansas City Chiefs only getting 9 or 10 possessions. And that would be the absolute optimum way to try to win this game because, I'll never forget, and I've told this story 100 times, but when the New York Giants were heading in to play the high-flying Buffalo Bills in the 1990 Super Bowl after the 90 season, Bill Parcells said to Ron Erhard, his offensive coordinator, the Giants didn't have a great offense. He said to Ron Erhard, play clock ball. In other words, limit the possessions for the Buffalo Bills. And that's exactly what they did. The Bills only had the ball for 19 minutes in that Super Bowl, and the Giants ended up squeaking one out. And that has to be on the minds of both Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy Garoppolo going into this game. If I'm the 49ers, as often as possible, I am snapping the ball when the play clock is at 5, 4, and 3.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. And if that happens, it's going to be harder and harder to get to 54. So that'll be a very important thing to keep an eye on for Super Bowl 54. Will the 49ers try to chew the clock? Will it work? And will they keep the Chiefs scoring down? And will they necessarily have their own scoring reduced? We'll be back again next week from Miami with more PFT OT on your...
Some good stuff between Florio and Peter King and Good Morning Football earlier talking about this over-under, 54.5. I'd lean towards the over right now. Now that could come down. Speaking of interesting, Zion making his debut. He score yet, Cream Dog?
No, but his first stat recorded is a turnover. So
turnover.
Not going good for his young career.
Zion making his debut tonight. Coming up next, Danny Duffy said something interesting about the Kansas City Chiefs and a certain member of the Kansas City Chiefs when he joined Cody and Gold earlier today. I'll bring you that next.
Being at night.
Speaking of the Radio.com app, my latest football and barbecue podcast with Neil Smith. Just downloaded today. We sat down, ate some barbecue, talked great football stories.
I'll be tuning into that later on tonight.
From high school to glory, man. From rough beginnings. It's not always been easy for Neil, man. And he spells it out. It was really good to hear. But you can download that. 610sports.com. 435 Podcast Network. Cream Dog used to be a baseball player. He played Northwest Missouri State. Danny Duffy pitcher for the Kansas City Royals, was on with Cody and Gold today. Of course, we have the Fan Fest coming up this weekend. Hope you can make it down to Bartlesville. He's going to become an American citizen. A lot of fun stuff. John Sherman's going to talk. It's going to be a lot of fun down at Royals Fan Fest just to get you primed. You have a weekend off before the Super Bowl. Danny Duffy joined Cody and Gold today and had this to say about Alex Gordon. Alex Gordon's got a one-year contract left. He signed a one-year contract for about $4 million, according to Jeffrey Flanagan. Here's Danny Duffy.
That guy's our captain. That guy's our guy, man. And he works unbelievably hard. He sets an example for the young guys, and he's been – I mean, last year was unreal, man. It was really cool to kind of see him, you know, back. And this year is going to be great, too. So we're all excited in that clubhouse, and it's going to be –
because that was a big talk. Now, I did find this interesting. Now, Alex Gordon is coming back for the Royals, but there's a couple interesting things about this. Did you notice any of these things? And I think this is interesting about Gordon coming back. According to Jeff Flanagan, he's got a deal where he can waive his 10-5 no trade clause. From Dayton Moore, Gordo wants to win more than anyone else, and this is not a situation where he thinks this is his final year. But isn't that interesting that he waives the 10-5 clause and can be traded? Could this be one of, you know, he'd be a rental player. What if he's having a good year and goes to a contender and still comes back here and lives and just finishes out like Willingham did when he came down to the Royals? And he brings the Royals a chip in his place. Could happen. Somebody wants that defense, they want Alex Gordon. He gets a $500,000 assignment bonus if that happens. Looks like about $4 million for 2020, according to Royals MLB.com writer Jeff Flanagan. Danny Duffy talked about meeting Patrick Mahomes.
It's kind of a funny story, dude. I never thought I'd be, like, low-key, kind of lightweight, starstruck by a 22-year-old dude. But Patrick came into the clubhouse last year. I was like, yo, dog, like, this is the Derek Jeter of our generation, bro. And I don't even know what to say to the guy. So I was like, what's up, man? That was it.
So you already got major league players, and I heard the interview. The interview's great. On demand, 610sports.com. You know, they're not starstruck with other MLB players because you don't see, like, occasionally players will send bats over to the clubhouse or whatever if you've watched somebody. But they don't, there's not a lot of hero worshiping.
It's like a coworker.
Yeah, like, because your job is to get them out.
Exactly.
But if it's from a different sport, you know, here's Royals that are superstars in their own mind. You know, Danny Duffy, I'm sure, commands quite a bit. If Danny Duffy's in somewhere eating, I'm sure he gets bothered quite a bit. Hosmer was like a Jonas brother. Lorenzo Cain would get swarmed. You know, there are rock stars in this town. There's been no bigger rock star in this town than Pat Mahomes, though. They just haven't. I doubt he can get anywhere, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm sure that he can't even sit down and eat dinner without people bugging him. I'm serious. He's probably gotten to that point, Kramer.
I think that'd be annoying, to be honest. I mean, you know you're that good, but then you go out, you want to have at least a fine meal, and you're just bugged the entire time.
With ultimate fame comes ultimate leave-me-alone time.
Exactly.
And if someone meets you at the wrong time, even though you're a good guy, you get tired of it, and I get it. Kramer, you run into your fans all the time, and I'm sure it's annoying. People yep. coming up and asking you to sign something, Crime Dog.
Yep, that's true. It happens all the time.
Yeah. would you take the fame? Would you take the cash?
Probably. I'd take the cash, but not the fame.
Tiger Woods used to go to movies. Then he became Tiger Woods. They can't. Can't go anywhere. I don't know, man. It's interesting when Danny Duffy said that. Be down at Fan Fest this weekend. I've gone to Fan Fest all the time. I mean, it's fun to go to. And the Royals are encouraging people to wear red, support the Chiefs. You going to go down there, Cream Dog?
Well,
it's a good time.
I'll be working both the days here.
Oh, that's right. I'll be down there Friday night. You'll be here.
Yes.
Oh, you got to work all day Saturday.
That's true.
Man, I'd like to see you down there. You'd have a good time.
Yeah, I'd try to
get that cage.
That cage, the radar machine. I'll actually bring my own bat if I did that.
It's fun. How many people are going to watch the Pro Bowl, considering no Chiefs are in it? Kansas City always watches it, though, so I'm curious about that. Huge thanks to Craig Stout for joining us from ArrowheadPride.com. He's down at the Senior Bowl Big thanks to Desmond Moses, former linebacker for the Green Bay Packers and Kansas City Chiefs, for coming in studio. Kramer and I will be back tomorrow to talk more Chiefs and 49ers. See ya.
Night. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.